What metaphor do you like to use to describe life? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Matilde Frey, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I'm your host and study guide author for this series on the themes in the Gospel of John, and my conversation partners on the topic today are Alex Bryan, president at Walla Walla University, and Andreas Pekai, pastor at the University Church. What metaphor do you like to use to describe life?
Well, there's a number of metaphors which come to mind. Life could be a journey, could be a path. Life could be a garden or a book. But I think the one I would go for would be life as a river. Because when I think of the friends I had when I was 18 and the friends I have now, they are different people. You know, I've moved geographically in where I live. I live in a different continent. I have different relationships. My mind has changed. My convictions have changed and solidified in some ways. And a river is dynamic. You know, you never go over the same portion of a river because the water is always moving. And I think life is similar in that way. And then, of course, there's, you know, bends and tributaries and, you know, rapids and waterfalls and, you know, places of calm, places where things feel really difficult. So life as a river, I think, is speaks to me right now. How about you, Alex?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know if
I can steal yours?
Well, I'd like to say yes, and okay. I would take credit for the beautiful thing you just said. But I like it when a loaf of bread is freshly baked right out of the oven, or when a blueberry reaches its full flower, when it's just perfect to eat. So I don't know if that's fresh or freshly baked or something when it's just, there's something about food when it's, to me, when life is full as it should be, those are the moments. And so that's a maybe imagery as much as metaphor, but that's where I would go. The perfect blueberry to me is the embodiment of life.
Peach. A peach.
Yeah, peach isn't bad either.
Okay.
All of them are good. I like the tree. Tree as an image of life. Mm-hmm. Because I loved this learning about how trees are connected underground with the mycelium underneath, and how the information is carried from one to another. Mm-hmm. And so that is another element. And of course, we have the tree of life in the beginning of the scriptures and at the very end as well. In the Gospel of John, the first time we read about life is, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. All people? Yes, I had the same reaction as you, Pastor Bekai, surprised, because, I mean, aren't there people who do not accept Jesus? Aren't there people in the Gospel of John who do not believe and who are not in a relationship? And yet John makes this overstated expressions. Is that, what do we make of that? He's the light of all people.
I mean, is this similar to the other gospel writers who said Jesus sends the rain on both the just and the unjust? There's this sense of the ubiquity of God's grace, that without which none of us would exist. So it's not, perhaps this isn't talking about salvific instruments, but it's talking about the ability to just exist. I don't know. What are you thinking, Alex?
That's exactly where my mind went, is that life is a gift that all enjoy, and God, through Jesus, is the creator of that life. And it doesn't really matter, in a sense, whether you believe or disbelieve or understand or don't understand, or you have a high IQ and you understand something in a more sophisticated way, or you were born without an IQ sufficient to understand the basics of the gospel. My point is, it doesn't really matter, in the sense God is still the sustainer of all of that. God is still the light of the world.
But isn't it also significant that if this is also true, it means that sometimes we need to challenge some of our inbuilt prejudice toward the people who we may think are too far from God. Right. And we can all fill in the different categories for ourselves. And some of them are specific to our own experiences. Some of them may be specific to the tradition in which we've grown up in. But if all people are imaged and given dignity and worth because God's light shines on them and gives them life, I think for me, if I was to walk into the world and bump into the person at Walmart who's taking, you know, too long to scan their things at the checkout, and I'm in a hurry because I'm trying to get home, and I take a deep breath and go, well, they have the light of God in them. I think it would help me to see people a little differently. I just think I preach a sermon to myself. I should just do an altar call for myself and I'll come up. What do you think?
Good idea.
He's just nodding.
The generosity again, the abundance again is addressed here in these passages about life. And I also think the passage in chapter 6 where Jesus makes this really bold statement, the bread that I will give for the life of the world. This is the world, this is the cosmos in the Greek. This is our universe, if you will. And again, it is this overarching meta story that we have here in the gospel. Now, there are plenty of places in John that discuss and speak of life. And in our guide here, we have a number of those. So which of the of those come to you and speak to you best in a way that is like deeply moving, maybe transformational?
For me, it's John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Which suggests, by the way, that you can have life but not have it abundantly, I guess. You can limit your access to what that life can be. And I'm drawn to that just because it fights against scarcity mentality. And scarcity can show up in a number of ways. It can be exclusive, right? Where, Andreas, this goes to your earlier point maybe, where, well, life's for some of us that think like I do, but if you're not part of me, then you're not inside of life.
Yes.
Where the light is for the cosmos. The
right.
Light, the abundance is for everybody. And that open-heartedness is provocative and inspiring. But I also think it speaks to the abundance of grace in the life, the abundance of joy that we should lean towards. It's a way of leaning into this existence that we have that is just filled with such possibility. And when you think about all the world's philosophies, all the political philosophies, the different ideas about life with different sects and different political parties, I mean, just different groups of people around the world, they all are sort of limiting when you look at them. They have a limiting quality. The Jesus way really ought to be the most abundant, more abundant than all of them, because there's this every nation, kindred, you know, tongue and people. There's this sense of eternal life and this bigness to what Jesus is offering that I just don't I don't find it other places, to be honest. I mean, I don't find it as big. So that's the one. I don't know. The two of you may have a different text that you're drawn to, but I'm very much and have been for a lot of my life to John 10:10. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly.
I like John 6:68. Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I like this one because there have been times when I felt really frustrated. And I thought, well, do I want to continue doing this, right? As someone who is, a third or fourth generation Adventist and the son of a minister. I've certainly had moments, particularly in my teenage years, early 20s, where I've asked the question of, is this really what I'm convicted of and I believe? And I've done the hard work to say, yes, it is. And I've come to the place where I've been convicted of the beauty of Jesus and of the truth of the hope that we have in him, and realize there's no other place that I would go to have this eternal and abundant life, right? Jeremiah talks about broken cisterns. And when you look in other places, I think a lot of philosophies are usually trying to approximate the best of what is offered by Christ. And so there is no one else that I would go to. So I'm with Peter here when he says, well, you know, even if it's hard, even when it feels uncomfortable, even when it can feel disorienting, even when it can feel like I've waited longer than I could possibly wait any longer for an answer that I'm been, you know, asking God for, He's eternal life. I have to stay with Him.
To come back to your metaphor about the water, the river, right? I also love this, again, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, and he speaks of the water that I will give will become a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now, Jesus does not make in the Gospel of John a difference between life and eternal life. They are almost always like parallel. They go parallel to each other. So the well, the water that is like a well for life that comes from Jesus. And then you go to the parallel story in chapter 7 where we come to the water festival where Jesus goes up to the temple wall up there and then looks down and calls on the people, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink.
Yes.
And then speaks of, again, he who believes in me from his innermost will flow rivers of living water. And then he speaks of the Spirit. That John makes a comment. When he says of the rivers of living water, he actually speaks of the Spirit. So again, John is truly an exegete and a preacher here. He explains what Jesus says in this case again.
That's beautiful. Right? And I want to live a life where I'm having that sort of abundance and that living water that not only nourishes and waters me, but also comes out and benefits others around me. It's a beautiful image.
Thank you so much for our conversation on Jesus and life. Thank you to my conversation partners, Alex Bryan and Andreas Bekai, and also thank you to our program engineer, Corin Bailey, and to all of you who listen in today. For The Good Word, I'm Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.